Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
American Athletic Conference preseason picks are out. Memphis basketball picked to finish second in the league behind Houston. Moussa Cisse picked as the newcomer of the year. Cody Toppert going into his second year as an assistant coach over there at the University of Memphis. Let's make him the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Coach Toppert, how you doing, man? Appreciate the time, as always.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so how many COVID tests are we up to over there for you individually now? I know you keep a tally.
You know, I'm getting in there today. I'm 19 for 19, Hall of Fame numbers. I'm going for number 20.
Wow.
Big 20. So, yeah, wish me luck.
So, I mean, have you, not to get into your medicals here, but have you gotten pretty much used to the experience by now and the sensation?
Yeah, you know what? It's I don't think you'll ever get comfortable, but I guess at this point you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, right?
Yep.
So it's better safe than SARS. And I think it's important to make sure that we're all doing our part.
Yes, absolutely. Better safe than SARS, indeed. Obviously, I'm sure by now you have seen, the preseason picks for the league this year. It is, you know, second. You'd love to be picked first. Everybody would love to be picked first. But is being picked second, I'm just curious from a coach's perspective, one that you can print out, put on the wall still, and say, hey, they picked us second, and everybody get pissed off?
You know what? I think it's one of those things, really, everybody wants to finish first, right? So all the picks in the preseason at the beginning of the year, I think it's great to just get people excited, specifically fans, media members, things of that nature. But from a team perspective, I think that we just need to take a look at ourselves, right, a look in the mirror, and we really need to make that battle be with us in the best version of what we can be and not necessarily measure us against anyone else. Specifically so early, that was something that I didn't really know or realize coming into college, really how meaningless those preseason rankings are, right? And it's going to be all about production. It's going to be all about getting and gathering wins as the season progresses. So I don't necessarily think, hey, you know, now Houston's got a big bullseye on their back, because quite honestly, there are a few teams in this conference that we've really got to be locked in on, and we've got to remember what happened last year, you know, with some tough losses. Whether that's, that's at Cincinnati, whether that's at Wichita State, whether that's at Tulsa, right? So we've just got to be ready to go in and be the team that we know we can be on a consistent basis, night in and night out.
What's preparing for this season been like, and how much different has it been? Obviously, with the protocol, you talked about it. You know, maybe it is. Maybe you're comfortable at this point being uncomfortable and having to constantly adapt. What's the season going to be like, Coach, with the protocol? You know, you're thinking start and stop. You're hopeful that you get all the way through, get the 27 in. What do you foresee in terms of how you'll have to deal with all this protocol?
Well, one of the main changes that we put in place is early morning practice. And what that's done so far, number one, I think we've seen an increase in just our guys' discipline and sticking to this regiment. But it's also got a lovely built-in curfew to it, right? We need people to be responsible away from the floor. We understand they're going to be college students. But in the same sense, right, we're trying to do something important, you know, for the program, for the university, for the city. So our guys have to take that as a tremendous responsibility that they have. But other than that, practice has really been fairly normal now at this point. Other than the fact everything I say, I've got to say two or three times. I don't know if my voice will last, because talking through a mask is no easy task. But, you know, we really got through the hard part in the summer, which were the one-on-zero workouts, right, the masked up, all the, you know, extreme measures, as we kind of figured out what the protocols would be going into the season. And now when you get onto the floor to normal practice, outside of everybody getting used to people, non-players wearing masks, you know, we're kind of business as usual now. And we've kind of found a nice little rhythm, a nice little groove with not just our schedule, but kind of the workflows and how everything is kind of going to operate. The real question will be when the season starts, like you said, right? What happens if, or more specifically, probably when, somebody happens to get COVID, and how that's going to impact us moving forward. But right now it's kind of like control the controllables and operate with this current state of reality, and then just make sure that you're flexible moving forward.
Obviously, you know, this is going to be total, you know, mostly I'm assuming speculation on your part because nothing has been announced, and I think we're navigating through some unprecedented times as we're reminded of every other minute. But you are now seeing, for example, the events in Orlando, and there were 10 of them, and it impacted over two dozen teams. Those all got canceled for differences of opinion on protocols and things like that. I'm just curious, do you expect, knowing that the Tennessee game is not going to be played, that was announced last week by the Tennessee side, do you expect to have, are you expecting to have much of a non-conference season outside of the South Dakota event?
You know, I mean, I think we're going to work and do our best to make sure that we fill the allotted amount of games that the NCAA has provided us, right? And obviously hunting down opponents is going to be part of that process, but I think that we're confident enough that we're going to be able to put together a schedule that is not only challenging, but something that's going to help prepare us for the American Conference schedule, where we're really going to have to be at our best. And again, it's similar to what I was saying in terms of, you know, we have to maintain our status quo and control the controllables, but we're just going to have to be ready to be flexible. And at the end of the day, the teams that are able to do that are going to probably be able to put together the schedules that are going to best match what their expectations were, you know, coming into that season. So while it is disappointing, right, to not play the Tennessee game, and maybe disappointing if any other of the games fall off the schedule, you know, we're going to keep the guys locked in on the mission at hand, which is whoever the next opponent is, let's do everything we have to in terms of preparation to handle our side of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I know that that our operations department and the athletic department are working very diligently to put together a schedule that is going to hopefully challenge us, harden us, get us prepared for a good run into the conference, and then hopefully thereafter.
How much nicer is it just not being the most inexperienced team in the country? And you talked about what you know having a chance to learn a lot about yourself there early. There's a chance you play three ranked teams to start it off in Sioux Falls, so you're a real measuring stick early on. How much do you like this roster with that kind of start?
Well, you know, without getting too much into kind of what's happened at practice, I'll say this. I personally, coming in last year, didn't really know what to expect. I didn't really necessarily have a college lens on,
sure,
right? I was still viewing things through kind of an NBA lens, if you will, and kind of started to figure out this college thing halfway through the season or so. And so now what I can say is confidently I like where we're at, specifically as it pertains to comparing us to where we were middle and end of last season, right? So I already feel much better about where we're at now. And then knowing that this is it's the preseason that we're in makes me feel even better. But again, what I also know is, and what I saw with my own two eyes is, you know, it's one thing to be in a practice setting. It's another thing, you know, to get in the game and handle your business. And I think that the most interesting element this year will be, you know, the lack of crowds at these various venues, right? So where is, and we saw it in the bubble, right? The home court advantage was not just null and void. I feel like, you know, the quote unquote away team was winning like 60 to 70% of the games, which is, you know, definitely remarkable. You know, will that home court advantage still hold? You know, you go to Wichita State, could be a lot quieter of a building, right, depending on what things look like pertaining to the COVID protocols. And, you know, now we've got experience, right? So even if the building were packed, I definitely feel better about where we're at. But knowing that it won't be too, I feel good about our ability to communicate with each other and really understand what it's going to take to win on the road.
We are, of course, talking to Cody Topper, University of Memphis assistant coach, here on the show. Their season is starting up in less than a month in South Dakota. You mentioned not wanting to get too into details with practice, and I certainly understand that. But Landers Nye II is a guy we've talked about quite a bit here on the show. You know, the transfer from Virginia Tech, you were instrumental in helping bring him here to Memphis. What should people expect from him? Because, you know, obviously we've talked about how at Virginia Tech he probably wasn't playing where he wanted to play. What can people expect from Landers here at Memphis? He was projected to finish on the second team in the AAC. What should people hope to see from him?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward when it comes to him. Great three-point shooter, great shooter, scorer. And, you know, when he's got that mentality, he's really tough to guard, because he's a guy who's got a quick release. He gets his feet set. He gets it off. Very consistent shooter in drills, in scrimmages, and any live stuff that we're doing in practice. He's got deep range, and he's also somebody who comes with a lot of experience, you know, in a very difficult conference, right? So he's someone who has been in difficult situations on the big stage, who won't skip a beat. He has transitioned seamlessly within our culture, with the culture that Penny's building, within the, with his teammates. And so, you know, we're seeing a lot of really, really good things out of him. But it's not just about him as well, right? He's doing a great job of blending in with our guys, and kind of the guys are playing off each other in a way that leads me to, you know, feel very positive about what the season could bring.
You guys last year were number five in adjusted defensive efficiency, two, number one in effective field goal percentage. I know those are stats you love. Can you be that good again without Precious? How big was he in that in terms of his defensive versatility? And I know that's something you guys are preaching. It's part of the culture you guys have laid the foundation for, playing great defense. But can you be as good? Do you have the pieces? Obviously, you had a huge shot blocker in Musa.
Yeah, I mean, losing Precious, nobody's going to sit here and say that specifically on that end of the floor, which I think is where
Absolutely.
The majority of his upside continues to be, nobody's going to say that, hey, you know, you're going to be a better defensive team, you lose him. But then when you look at, oh, well, we only, you know, are incorporating, you know, perhaps one of the best rim protectors, you know, in all of college basketball, and he hasn't even played a game, that makes me feel a lot better. I'll say this. We did a great job with some of our quote-unquote goalie concepts, right, where – you know, we are a great rotating team.
Mm-hmm.
We're a great cycle of help team. We do a great job picking up for others. But what I think that we're going to focus on this year is doing a better job of guarding our yard, right? Closing out and containing the dribble, not allowing guys to get into our paint. So what we want to do is protect our paint, show a crowded lane, still be that team that's going to rotate over to block shots. And if we can funnel people into Musa Cisse, I have high confidence that they will shoot a low percentage at the rim against us. But the more we can keep guys out of our paint, the better. And again, if we can contain the bounce and force contested mid-range jump shots, then I don't think there's any reason to think that we can't be as good on defense. And when it comes to what Coach is building and it comes to what he's emphasizing, right, he may have been a transcendent level point guard, you know, assist machine, score, all these different things. But as a coach, he's great at demanding and holding guys accountable on the defensive side of the floor. And that's how you really earn your freedom on the offensive side of the floor. So, you know, we're really locked in on that. And I think our guys are buying into that mentality, which we have to continue to do so. And at the end of the day, once we get and prevent that first shot from going in, the last element is going to be defensive rebounding. And
Absolutely.
That's got to be a huge key as well, where we've got to secure those defensive rebounds, prevent second chance opportunities, and that's going to allow us to get out in transition.
You know, last season, Coach, when you guys needed, you know, a bucket, whether it was to end a drought or, you know, at the end of a game, whatever, you knew where it was going, and that was Precious Achiuwa. I mean, he was sort of the guy last season, and, you know, now that he is off for the NBA draft, you know, you got to replace that. The good news is that you got a lot of candidates on the roster. So is it one of those things where it's almost by committee, or is that something that you don't figure out in terms of who's going to take that shot until the game start? Because you do have, whether it's, you know, Lester or DJ or Landers, I mean, you have certainly a lot of different candidates to step up and be that guy. Is that not something that you figure out, though, until the games actually get underway?
Well, I think the main thing that we're emphasizing right now is we want to be a swing team. We want to be an extra pass team. We want to be a share the ball team. We want to be a 0.5 team. We want to make quick decisions. That's 0.5 mentality, 0.5 seconds, shoot it, rip it, swing it, keep the ball moving. And if we can break the paint multiple times on any given possession, that's what's going to lead to our open shots on the perimeter. And now what you've got are guys that should and can and will shoot it at a high clip, guys that should be hunting shots in your DJ, Landers, Boogie, Lester. And when you think about, too, you know, those guys can all get into the paint as well and be the igniters and initiate those kickouts. I mean, I definitely think by committee is something that is a realistic expectation. And really what we want to be is a high-volume assist team and a high-volume hockey assist team. So what we're trying to do right now, we're not just going to praise the pass that leads to the shot. We want to praise the pass that leads to the pass that leads to the shot, right? Because if we build that type of mentality – and we share the ball the way we can, and we do it by committee, then everybody's going to feel involved. Everybody's going to get touches. Everybody's going to be a part of what we're doing. And then what that tends to do is that tends to spill over onto the defensive side of the floor. Because as much as we want guys with short memories, right, between free throw line to free throw line, right, forget what happened last offensive possession, sprint back on defense and lock in, forget what happened last defensive possession, good, bad, or otherwise, sprint back on offense and lock in, right? Players' mentality aren't built like that, right? As much as we try to emphasize it. So the more we share the ball on offense, the more we're going to be able to get great effort and great concentration out of defense.
Yep.
Right? And so it's a two-way street on those things. And I think that's been the big emphasis so far in practice. And I think the thing that really makes me feel good about the team we have is our depth and our willingness to make the extra pass so far. It's been quite remarkable early in our practices.
Well, yeah, speaking of sharing the ball, I think the most compelling sort of position battle and competition is at the point guard. And you have a number of ways that you could go. And I think whether it's Alo, whether it's Damian, whether it's Boogie, I think each guy sort of brings a different skill set and a different bag of tools to the table. So is that an open competition? Has someone sort of emerged? What have you seen from those guys? Is there a clear-cut starter? What sort of, in your eyes, is the sort of score at that position?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, you know, coach is shaking up the rosters regularly in the practices. He's trying to figure out which group has, that chemistry and figure out which guy emerges as the guy who, you know, walks out with 40 minutes on the clock. But at the end of the day, it's not really going to be about who walks out with 40 minutes on the clock. It's going to be about who's out there with 3 minutes on the clock. And I think a lot of guys tend to forget that, right? Starting may be the single most overrated thing in the game of basketball, because the first 3 to 5 minutes of a game anyways, everybody's feeling each other out, right? And it's usually ugly basketball on the way towards finding a rhythm. And so, you know, to me, you know, obviously everybody still wants to start. I understand that. And coach will make the decision that he thinks is going to be best for the team, give us the best chance to win. But we also want to be a team that plays with extreme pace. We don't want guys who are going to pace themselves, right? So everybody's going to get an opportunity to be a playmaker, be a push guy, to be a paint breaker, to be an assist guy, you know, to do all of those things, to handle and use ball screens. And the faster we play and the harder we play, if our guys go out there and play for a 2 or 3 minute stretch, you know, blackout as hard as they can, then they're going to need a rest anyways. And so, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to, is really having our guys buy into that mentality and then have a selfless mentality on both sides of the ball. And then I think that's what's going to build something special. So hard to say who will come out on top in that battle. But at the end of the day, you know, we're going to emphasize that it's Memphis versus everybody, right?
How about the job, no doubt? How about the job you guys have done in recruiting, Coach? What's been the key? You're number 3 in the country right now. And do you think you're done? Might you add something a little later on? But why have you been so effective in recruiting this offseason? You're down a man. You guys are supposed to be down a man.
Well, you know what they say, right? When you're down a man, it's got to be next man up. But really what it is, to me, it's just connectivity, between the staff. Obviously, this COVID stuff has forced us to be more connected, even though it might not be in person. It might be virtually, you know, through Zoom and various things like that. But to me, that connectivity and just being on the same page has really helped us in our recruiting efforts. And I think that that's what showed. And, you know, we're building deep and long-lasting relationships with, you know, the student-athletes that we'll be bringing on campus. And I think the city of Memphis will be extremely proud of the group that's coming in and how they represent them.
Coach, great stuff, man. We appreciate
you,
the time, as always.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Y'all stay safe.
Yes, sir. He is Cody Topper, University of Memphis assistant coach, here on the show. A basketball nerd, I like to say. He is a absolute basketball nerd, a junkie, man. He will get down there and hunker down and watch about 8 hours of film. No problem.
Like he realized last year how much, you know, experience and that, you know, just having guys that have been through the wars.
Yep.
How much of a difference that makes in college basketball, obviously. You can have all the talent in the world.
Yep.
A big part, we talked about it, why they were turnovers last year, just an Achilles heel for them. A lot of that's inexperience. But I tell you this, too. Houston, one of the most inexperienced teams last year, too. They weren't 338th in turnover percentage. They were about 90th, John.
Yep.
Or somewhere in there.
Yep. So, anyway, appreciate Cody Topper for joining us on the show today. We'll come back. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN.